Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
Welcome to Rogue Talk. I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for Friday, October 7th, 2016. And the phone number, if you want to reach us here during the show, 541-299-0498. And you can also email the station feedback at 943thebridge.com. So once again, welcome to the show. Got a great show for you here. My guest today will be Pastor Evan Gigline. Of course, he runs the station here and is also the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church, where the station is located. But he's got some particular knowledge on the what I'd like to talk about today, so I've asked him to join us. So he'll be joining us a little bit later on. And as a lot of you may know, if you have kids in the district or if you were just around downtown today, today was the homecoming parade. I didn't get back to town in time to see it, but later on when the Rogue mascot joins us, we'll have to find out how things went with the homecoming parade. But that's always a big deal for homecoming week. And of course, the homecoming football game is tonight, 7 o'clock out at Chieftain Stadium. A lot of good stuff going on out there. Tri-tip sandwiches are on the menu, so I'm going to definitely get myself one of those and have a good time out at the game tonight. Of course, we'll be on the air at 6:50 here at the Bridge with kickoff at 7 o'clock. And we can expect probably an extra long halftime because of the homecoming festivities. You know, they'll be crowning the king and the queen and all of those good things. So may have an extra long halftime tonight, but definitely tune in or get out to the stadium and come out and enjoy the game out there at Chieftain Stadium. Couple of items of in the news locally. Last week we had talked about the project that was going to be going on Sunday at Beck Field. The Lowe's Home Improvement, of course, have what they call their Heroes Projects, where they get volunteers and I believe they donate a lot of the material, and I think they even send down some of their employees to donate some labor to do community service projects. And so they were down there at least half a day, probably a little longer even, on Sunday, refurbishing all the bleachers out at Beck Field, new wood and new paint and new backstops. And they painted a mural on the backside of those backstops at the top. So a really nice project, really, you know, just a great thing. And that was kind of spearheaded by John Spaeth, a father here in the district who happens to be the manager there at Lowe's, and he got on the list for that project or for the chance to get one of these community service projects. And once they got moved to the top of the list, they got that going and did a beautiful job out there refurbishing those bleachers and making it safe and beautiful and something we can all be proud of here in the community. So I wanted to update you on that. And of course, I mentioned it's homecoming week, and last night was the bonfire. They get a bunch of pallets and other wood together and make as big a pile as they can. And by all estimation, it was a wonderful, wonderful bonfire and a fun time for everybody. They had caramel apples and just had a good time last night getting fired up for this homecoming game tonight. And we want to thank the fire department for their participation in that activity, making sure that things were safe. And so a great time out there for homecoming week. And finally, one news story related to our community, or at least our neighboring community. Earlier this week in Gold Hill, it was a little unclear how this all came about, but there was apparently a construction project working on a pipeline, and it was either the water line or the sewer line but they were worried that one had contaminated the other one. They had accidentally hit one of these lines. And again, the whole story, it's been hard to get a clear picture of what happened. But the end result of that was they were warning the residents that they were going to need to boil their water. And for drinking and cooking and such, they could, you could use the water for other things without boiling. That has passed. The water has been deemed okay, and everything's back to normal. But there was a lot of confusion with that, and some of the community members in Gold Hill felt that the city wasn't doing a good job of notifying them and making the information available. I think that'll all kind of die down now that the water's been cleared as safe to drink and safe to use. But that was an interesting story this week in our neighboring community there in Gold Hill. And of course there's a lot of crossover. In fact, the road that the church and the radio station is on, Rogue River Highway, the address is heading toward Grants Pass or all Grants Pass. The address is heading toward Gold Hill or all Gold Hill. But those are just addresses. A lot of the people that live in those areas, they come to school. They're in the Rogue River School District. So, you know, as a neighboring community, there is some connections there, and they're all kind of odd, but they all make us, you know, community. They're our community members too, and we want to support them. So finally, in Rogue River High School sports, the results for the past week, of course, if you were listening here on 94.3 The Bridge, you know that the Chieftains got their first win of the season. They took on the Bonanza Antlers, and they had to play eight-man football. Of course, in the 1A level, all the teams play eight-man. That's what their varsity football is. But from level 2A and above, they would play 11-man. But Bonanza was down to 13 players suited up for last Friday's game. So they convinced the Rogue River team and athletic director to play eight-man. And the Chieftains won that game 62-18. So big win there for the Chieftains. And a big salute to them for getting that first win. And hopefully that gives them the momentum going into tonight's game with Illinois Valley. You always want to win on homecoming night. And in the recent past, the Chieftains haven't always been able to get that done. So hopefully maybe they can get that done tonight. And in other sports, the volleyball team lost a couple of games this week. They were at home on Tuesday against Cascade Christian, and then they went on the road to St. Mary's yesterday, and in both of those contests, they lost 3-0. So, and again, those are two of the tougher teams. In fact, Cascade is one of the top-ranked teams in the state, so not to put down our team, but we weren't expecting a whole lot in those games, and they played valiantly and had at least one of the sets in each one of these matches where they really gave them a good run and came up a little short, but ultimately they couldn't win any of the sets in either of those contests. So they'll be looking forward to next week to try and bounce back. In girls soccer, there was a couple of games last week. Last Friday, just as we were going off the air, they started a game at Cascade Christian, actually over at U.S. Cellular Fields, and they lost 8-0, but they came back with a big 11-0 win earlier this week against the Eagle Point JVs. So the girls split a couple of games this week. And then over to boys soccer. Last Saturday, the boys beat Lakeview at Beck Field 8-0. And then on Wednesday, they hosted Canyonville Christian Academy, and they won that game 3-1. So that puts them atop of the standings in a league tie with St. Mary's. They're listed at the top, and I believe the tiebreaker, if teams are tied at the end of the season, the tiebreaker is total goals. So apparently we may have a couple more than them, but either way, they're going to be looking for revenge when they take on St. Mary's again, because, of course, last week we know they lost their first game of the season to St. Mary's. But they'll have another big game with St. Mary's. Another big game coming up, and a rematch with Cascade. Of course, they beat Cascade at home 5-0. So Cascade will be looking for revenge, getting them onto the more friendly AstroTurf or artificial turf field. The two Medford teams, the two private schools, they definitely tend to play better on the turf field. And so that gives them that's where they play their home games, and it gives them a bit of an advantage on those home games, but they really struggle when they have to travel and play on these natural grass fields. So we'll be looking forward to the next couple of weeks with those games coming up. So that's going to do it for the sports report, and that's everything I've got for you here in this break. So when I come back, we will be talking to Pastor Evan Gigline, and we will be talking about some things we heard in this last week's vice presidential debate, kind of spark some conversation all over around the moral issues. You know, at the end of the debate, they got into the moral issues, more precisely abortion and LGBT rights. And there was a real stark difference between the two candidates and what they had to say. So we're going to talk about that and how that relates to all of us and to the upcoming election. So I'm going to take a break here. And when I come back, Pastor Evan Gigline, don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Where the rooster crows. 94.3, The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. We're going to start with the baseball playoffs, and the Cleveland Indians hit a lot of long balls in Game 1, winning their first game of the American League Divisional Series against the Red Sox in Cleveland last night. Roberto Perez, Jason Kipnis, and Francisco Lindor each hit solo homers in the third inning of the Indians' 5-4 triumph. Indians manager Terry Francona.
It was certainly exciting to watch. What I liked the most was when they scored, we came back and scored. And, you know, you knew it was going to be a good game. But that was far from under control.
Game two comes up today. Toronto took the opener of its ALDS against Texas, tagging starter Cole Hamels for 7 runs and a 10-1 laugher against the Rangers in Texas. Game two is today. The Jays will start 20-game winner J.A. Happ against Yu Darvish, who went 7-5 this season after recovering from Tommy John surgery. This is SRN Sports. Moving on to Thursday night NFL action, the Arizona Cardinals 2-3 after taking advantage of various miscues by the San Francisco 49ers. The Cards scored 17 points off 3 Niners turnovers to post a 33-21 triumph against San Francisco. Those 3 scoring drives totaled just 41 yards, but were enough. College football, Saturday's game between number 18 Florida and LSU postponed because of Hurricane Matthew. The Southeastern Conference says efforts will be made to reschedule the Florida home game, though the Gators and Tigers do not have a common open date. However, Saturday night's ACC battle between 23rd-ranked Florida State and number 10 Miami remains on the top 25 docket. It could be moved. NHL News, President Obama welcomed the champion Pittsburgh Penguins to the White House. He noted how the Pens were close to last place in late December and turned their season around. He also pointed out that in his 8 years of welcoming Stanley Cup champions, all the teams have been based in the U.S. This is SRN Sports.
Hello, Kubo. What have you got planned for today?
Come on, this way.
Adventure can be found anywhere, but the best place to start is in the forest.
It's the most powerful magic there is.
Head outside to discover incredible animals.
Wow.
And beautiful plants that come together to create an unforgettable adventure.
Hey!
So grab your loved ones and explore a world of possibilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest forest or park to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Back to Rogue Talk, and joining me in the studio now, someone you've probably heard on this station a few times before, the host of Once for All, and also the co-host of Table Talk Radio, Pastor Evan Gigline. Welcome to Rogue Talk.
Jeff, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's exciting to have you here. We've threatened to do this a few times, and I'd been on your show a couple of times, but this is the first time you've come in on my show.
First time I've ever sat in the seat before.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to have you over there in the guest seat, and I've got the big chair.
It's kind of like riding shotgun in your own car. It just feels kind of weird.
Yeah, and it's nothing worse than somebody else driving your car. I don't like to ride with other people in any car, but especially in my own. So, yeah, I think I know how you feel. So the reason I wanted to get you here was I'm sure you saw the vice presidential debate this week. And at the end of the debate, there was some talk about each of the candidates' faith, but there were some stark differences between the two of them. And we can kind of get into those differences a little bit, but I've got a few sound bites, and I thought I would play these and get your feeling on what you think about this. The first one is related to the fact that, you know, of course, as senators or congresspeople, they're making laws. That's what their job is. So this first one is a quote from Senator Kaine, and it seems a little peculiar considering what his job is. So I wanted to see what you thought about this.
Hillary and I are both people out of religious backgrounds. Her Methodist church experience was really formative for her as a public servant. But we really feel like you should live fully and with enthusiasm the commands of your faith. But it is not the role of the public servant to mandate that for everybody else. So let's talk about abortion and choice. Let's talk about that.
So my impression is that is what he really means is we can't mandate Christianity, but they can mandate anything else. In fact, that's what laws are. They're mandating things. So what is the role of morality, and more specifically Christian morality, in government, in laws?
Right. Well, Christians will sometimes make a distinction in theology between natural law and then what is revealed. So there are things that God has set up as truths within the creation, just by virtue that this place has the fingerprints of God by Him creating it. So, you know, like the laws of gravity. You know, if I say that I don't believe in the laws of gravity, when you step off that cliff, no matter what you believe, you're still going to fall. You know, it's just set up. Now, there are things that we know simply by revelation, by God speaking to us through the scriptures, something like that. Something like, you know, what you believe about who Christ was, whether he was a true son of God or whether he was just a teacher, something like that. Now, it's not the role of the government to enforce the latter, to make you believe a certain thing about who God was or who Jesus is. But where God has left his fingerprints in creation, this applies to all people, whether you believe or not, like gravity. And we would say morality applies to the former, the natural law. So objectively speaking, no matter whether you're a Christian, a Buddhist, a Hindu, or whatever you are, it's wrong to murder objectively, no matter who you are. And that is actually the job of the government, to institute laws of morality in society to keep society in check.
Yeah. So, and that, you know, you're taking it right off of my notes here. The two things that came right to mind when I was thinking about this was two of the Ten Commandments: thou shalt not kill, excuse me, and thou shalt not steal. So, if we can't use things that are, excuse me, if we can't use things that are in the Bible to determine morality or even establish moral laws, regardless of whether they're in the Bible, if they're excluded immediately because they're in the Bible, well, then I'm going to take your car after the show here and there's nothing you can do about it, because you know, Senator Kaine is telling me we can't mandate things based on our religious beliefs. Well, I think stealing's wrong, but since he thinks we can't mandate that because it's in the Bible, well, you know, I'm going to steal your car and then I'm going to run somebody over with it because it's perfectly okay. And I know that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but basically that's what they're saying.
But we should be honest that both sides are interested in instituting their principles into the legal system. That's why they're there. Those who work as legislators are taking their held principles and instituting them into the laws that they write. For those who were involved in executing a fine against the Klein family who owned Sweet Cakes by Design in Gresham, they were instituting their morality, their principles, when they levied a $200,000 fine because they wouldn't serve a homosexual couple. So we should just be honest that for some reason, because this is a debate that Christians have said we can't abide by this because of our religious beliefs, somehow that means, okay, now it's a free-for-all. We can all choose for ourselves whether it applies or not. But that's actually not the case. It's actually an objective thing based upon right and wrong.
Sure, I agree with that. So let's move on to another sound clip. This is another one with Senator Kaine, and I'm going to let you listen to it. I picked a certain part out of this that I didn't necessarily agree with, at least not 100%, but I want to see what you think about this one.
But we really feel like you should live fully and with enthusiasm the commands of your faith. But it is not the role of the public servant to mandate that for everybody else. So let's talk about abortion and choice. Let's talk about that.
Oop, I think I played the wrong one there. Sorry, that's the same one we just heard.
This sounds really familiar.
Yes, it does. I've got them out of order. Let's see if it plays the right one this time.
But we really feel like you should live fully and with enthusiasm the commands of your faith. But it is not the role of the public servant to mandate that for everybody else. So let's talk about abortion and choice.
Okay, somehow I got them mixed up. So let me just summarize what was in that clip, because apparently I got two of them named two different things and lost the correct one. Basically, part of the quote was that we support the constitutional right of American women to have an abortion. My first thought on that is a complete mischaracterization of what Roe versus Wade does. And part of that, I think, comes from a misunderstanding that we've gotten into in the last many years of what the role of the court is. The court does not make something constitutional. It can rule that something is unconstitutional, but that doesn't in turn make something automatically constitutional. The only thing that's constitutional are things that are written in the Constitution. So I don't know. What is your feeling about that?
Well, I'll speak from a Christian perspective, since I am a pastor. You know, we see, based on a reading of Romans 13, that government is a divinely instituted thing. It's something that God has actually established. So based upon that, well, we'd ask, well, why did God give us the government? Why did God establish a government among us? And we'd say, well, the government has established, first of all, to protect life and property, but it's not the job or the role of government to provide for our needs. That's the job of one's individual work and effort. So now we're going to ask a question: do women have a constitutional right to end the life of their unborn child? And that actually goes against what the government's role actually is to do, is preserve life. There's a man by the name of Scott Klusendorf, who is a speaker for Life Training Institute, and he has this little tactic that he uses to show that we're missing the point of the debate. Really, the point of the debate here is, what is the unborn? Is the unborn a human life or isn't it? Now, if it isn't a human life, then I would agree. Women have the right to abort it. But if the unborn is a human life, then they don't have the right to abort it. And he teaches us to use this little tactic to see would this stand in the question for life? He says, he titles it Trot Out the Tot. And he says, apply the argument to a one-year-old. Let's say there's a group, and no one's saying this, but let's say there's a group that says it's the woman's right to end the life of her one-year-old child. Now, would you think it would stand for any candidate to say, we support the constitutional right for women to end the life of their one-year-old children? We'd go berserk. We'd say, no way, that's not the right.
No, maybe two-year-olds, but not one-year-olds.
Yeah, right. but see, that shows us that by bringing in this constitutional right to choose is still missing the point of, is this a human life? Because if it is a human life, a right to choose doesn't supersede the right to life.
Yeah, well, and I, of course, not, you know, being the layman on that side of the argument, I kind of come from the legal side of it. And I talked about this last week on the show about precedents. I think too often we put too much weight into precedents, and the Supreme Court's a perfect example of that. Just because the Roe versus Wade decision went in favor of the pro-choice side of the argument doesn't mean that was the right decision. I look back at Brown versus Board of Education and then Korematsu and any number of other decisions where we can look back and go, that was not a good idea. Interning the Japanese was not the right decision. It was not constitutionally supported, for one thing, but it was just a bad decision. And so from that respect, yes, Roe versus Wade has established what the law is, but that doesn't make it right, and that doesn't make it the right choice for society. That's something that society needs to decide. And if they wanted to pass an amendment abolishing abortion, there's nothing stopping them from doing that. And of course, that's probably never going to happen in this society, but we carry too far the precedent of, well, that's what the court said and that's it. Well, I wasn't even of age when the court said that, so I'd like my say also. And our government is based on the people. And we've kind of been squeezed out of the decision-making process over time.
Well, you make a good point that the judicial branch does not determine what the Constitution says. So if Senator Kaine is going to say that it infringes upon a woman's constitutional right to choose to forbid abortion, then you'd have to show me in the amendments of the Constitution that says that. In other words, just because there is a Roe v. Wade decision doesn't insert that decision into the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, well, and I go back just recently to the Obamacare law, and the judge that made the final decision to uphold the law basically redefined, he changed the words in the law to make it fit so that it would fit and be okay. The words that were there did not match what he said. And so I reject that decision. Now I have to live by the law. And in fact, in my family just today, that's becoming a real disgusting reality. The cost of healthcare for a small business person, it's getting really ugly. But nonetheless, I have to live by what the law is. But I reject his judgment in that, and that's something that we need to be able to fix. This idea that the Supreme Court is the last say on things, it's just ridiculous. The Constitution doesn't support that at all. In fact, the branch that has the most power would be the lawmaking branch of the Congress and the Senate. They really have more recourse in any number of ways than the other two branches, even though they're called co-equal branches.
Well, and really who should have the most say is the voting body. And we saw this, I don't know, it's probably been 6 or 7 years ago now that Prop 8 was a measure in California the majority of those who showed up to the polls that day in California said, we want marriage to be understood in our state to be defined as a man and a woman. And that's what the voters wanted. Well, that was overruled by a state judge. And that, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Prop 8 was what eventually made it to the U.S. Supreme Court. And now look where we are. Now the Supreme Court has defined marriage for all 50 states to have nothing to do with gender whatsoever. Now, this all started back when the voters had said in a majority, this is how we want to define marriage. And it was judges who overruled it and changed the laws.
Yeah. And I think I'll stop there. I don't want to get more opinionated on this show than I probably should, but I think it's a good discussion. So let's move on to the next soundbite. And this one is more, probably even more something that you know, your opinion might be a little more informed than mine. Let's take a listen.
And we don't think that women should be punished, as Donald Trump said they should, for making the decision to have an abortion. Governor Pence wants to repeal Roe versus Wade. He said he wants to put it on the ash heap of history. And we have some young people in the audience who weren't even born when Roe was decided. This is pretty important. Before Roe versus Wade, states could pass criminal laws to do just that, to punish women if they made the choice to terminate a pregnancy. I think you should live your moral values. But the last thing, the very last thing that government should do is have laws that would punish women who make reproductive choices.
Now, the popular, within government, the popular conservatives' view seems to be they've taken one step back from that. Donald Trump did say that at one point that women should be punished for abortion, and then he's kind of stepped back from that, and he's kind of taken the popular conservative government view, not conservative thought, but just the government view, that even if we banned abortion, the mother shouldn't be punished. That's a tough subject, but if we ban abortion, we're basically saying that abortion is murder. Should there or should there not, in your opinion, be some sort of punishment for that if, in fact, we were to ban abortion?
Right. Well, I think what, from a political standpoint, the value in saying, look, we're not interested in punishing women for ending the life of their unborn children is simply to say we're going to shut down abortion clinics. We're going to make it illegal for a doctor to perform this. And if a doctor does, we're going to prosecute the doctor rather than the woman. And that's going to at least remove the access to abortion. I might parallel this to suicide laws. We have laws that is actually illegal to take to attempt suicide. Now, generally what happens in society is that when a police officer comes in contact with someone who's suicidal, they don't usually arrest. They might put them in protective custody. Very rarely is, at least to my knowledge, I don't know if I've really heard of anyone being prosecuted for attempted suicide, but we still have it as a law. Why? Well, because we see the value of life, and we want to get those people help. And I think that's what we want to do for women in a tough situation, rather than throwing them in the slammer for ending the life of their unborn children. We want to try and get them help. And you know, this morning I interviewed Robin Fuller, who's the executive director at the Pregnancy Care Center in Grants Pass. They're having their gala next week. And I have to give kudos to organizations like theirs who want to give women the full picture, because when an unexpected pregnancy comes about, you're in panic mode, you're in crisis mode, and you make decisions that you wouldn't make if you saw 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. And I think that's what we're should be doing for women in situations like that, is giving them the bigger picture and letting them truly make an informed decision.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I don't know that I've heard some good arguments for there should be a punishment. I'm not sure I'm ready to go that far. And I don't know, you know, we and you probably, you obviously understand this better than I, but there is a lot of guidelines, if you will, in the Bible that give government the power to exercise their laws, mm-hmm. and to in one way to exercise God's laws, mm-hmm. and you and I have talked about that before, but I'm not even sure, and maybe you know, and based on your answer on this, I would say you're probably in the same camp with me that I'm not sure that would be somewhere God would want us to go. You know, we, of course, as Christians, we understand that we're all sinners. We don't get to decide what level someone's sin is. Of course, you participate in confessions, but you don't even, I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't judge the person who's confessing. You counsel them and you let them know what God's mercy is, I would imagine, but you don't judge the level of sin, I don't think. Am I wrong?
Right. Yeah. I mean, so we see here that there's different distinctions in how the world works. The church has one job and the government has a completely different job. It's not within the government's job to forgive sins, and it's not within the church's job to punish sins. So if someone comes to me and confesses sin, it is my mandate as a pastor to announce to them the forgiveness of sins that's in Jesus Christ. If a criminal standing before a judge, it's the judge's job to execute justice, not to pronounce forgiveness. And so we have to see the distinction in those things. So yeah, in my realm, in my job, God sees sin as sin and doesn't see, I mean, stealing is just as bad as murder in God's eyes, but that's not true in the court system.
Yeah. And I think, at least from the religious side of it, recognizing again that we all sinners. In fact, I don't remember which show it was, but one of the shows on the station earlier this week, the pastor made a comment about, you know, there's one or two of the commandments that, you know, he knows he's been breaking since he was, you know, 11 years old. Well, you know, we understand that we, you know, we're not perfect, and we all, you know, and we all have shortcomings in different areas. You know, some may have one problem in one area and somebody else in another, and some of us in a bunch, but we understand that. And I like the distinction that you've made that, you know, the government has one set of duties, and you have another set. So that was an interesting thing. And before we go to break, there was one more thing I wanted to touch on, and that was going back to the debate. The two candidates were talking about their faith, but the big difference I saw was how easily Senator Kaine was willing to step aside from his beliefs because he didn't think it was proper to assert his beliefs. And again, we were talking about the whole idea of a mandate and mandating things. That's exactly what lawmaking is. And I'm not trying to throw, you know, Senator Kaine under the bus, but someone like that, and he proclaimed Hillary Clinton to have some level of faith, although I've really never seen much talk about that or her talk about that much. So I don't think that's a big part of her life, even though he said it was. Are you really a person of faith if it's that easy for you to accept, let's say, the Democratic platform where they promote gay marriage, where they promote abortion on demand, and they insist that the taxpayers will pay for it? And that in even including partial birth abortion, which I won't get into, we won't get into today, but are you really a person of faith if you can completely ignore your faith in executing your job?
Yeah, this is going to be the question that we need to, that we are wrestling with as a country. And it's essentially the question, what does it mean to be a person of faith? We're being told today that what that means is, or maybe broadly, what is the freedom of worship mean, and it seems like those left of the aisle want to say that what your faith and what your religion is what you do at a particular time of a certain day, you know, Sunday morning or Saturday night or whatever it might be. But when you go to work, you lay all that in your, you leave that in your locker, and you do your job. People who seem to be right of aisle say, this is a part of who I am. When I do my work, I do it as a Christian, or for those of even different religions, I do my work as a Jew or a Buddhist. I mean, it's a part of who I am. And this is why, you have, again, to use the example of the Klein family in Gresham, Oregon, who has the bakery. Someone comes in and says, hey, I want you to bake a cake for my son who's gay for his birthday party. Say, okay, I'm not going to deny a cake to someone who's homosexual. But when they're asked to use their arts and abilities to make a cake for something that celebrates an institution that is against their religious beliefs, they're going to say, I respectfully decline. I can get you in touch with someone else who can do it, but I can't do it. And those the left saying, look, you need to have your faith in one compartment and what you do in another compartment. And those on the right say, look, this is one and the same. This is what I do.
Yeah, well, and in that case, I would even take it from the perspective of the law. There's two things that stood out to me. My understanding of doing business as I've grown up was, you know, you used to see the signs in the stores all the time that we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone for any reason, or however they worded it. Now, I don't know if that's legally true or not, but I've discriminated in my business all the time, not against a race or against LGBT people or anything like that. When I go to bid a job I don't like, I've got the choice to say, no, I don't have room in my schedule for this. Mm-hmm. Or I may bid it really, really high, hoping that I don't get it. But if I do, at least I'm getting a good payday out of it. So in that respect, discrimination is completely allowed in the workplace. And in another respect, at the time that that whole incident took place, gay marriage was not legal in Oregon. So to me, the state had no legal basis to stand on in that case, because there was nothing forcing them to participate in a gay marriage because it was an illegal activity.
Right.
So
the distinction, I mean, so that, and I've been using the Klein family in Gresham, but there's been all cases, photographers, florists and everything else. The point is that they weren't targeting a certain class of people. The point is they didn't want to use their gifts and talents and abilities to something that was against their religious views, because they knew when they went to work, they were still Christians. And presidential candidate Hillary Clinton and apparently Senator Tim Kaine are able to do is to say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't let that have anything to do with my job as a president or as a senator.
Yeah, so definitely something we're not going to answer here today, but it's an interesting conversation, and it gives you an interesting choice. And I would tell the voters out there, there's a couple things that I'm looking at that are big reasons. You know, we can all agree that these are not the best two candidates. In fact, one of the other shows on the station, the gentleman had mentioned that after the vice presidential debate, most of us could probably agree we'd rather be voting on those two candidates for president.
Yeah, right.
But I'm looking at, there's a likelihood of definitely one, maybe two, three, who knows, Supreme Court justices replaced in the next presidency, depending on whether it's a 4-year or an 8-year presidency.
At least two, if I mean, yeah.
And the other thing is, and again, this one smacked me in the face again today, is the Obamacare law. It's an abomination. It's bad law. It's destroying our healthcare system. Was very expensive, and they've made it way, way more expensive. And that's exactly the opposite of what they promised. So I would just tell the voters, consider what's most important to you, what you think is best for the country. Forget about the personalities of these candidates and look at what's going to be best going forward for the country and make those decisions on your own. So we're going to have to go to break here. We're running a little over on this segment, but I appreciate you coming and talking again. I hope we can do this again,
because
we didn't get to near the stuff. And actually, if you can hang around, I'd like to have you come back with the Rogue Talk mascot and pick a few football games. Are you up for that?
Happy to do it.
All right. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with the Rogue Talk mascot. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
We're Marin News, I'm Val Dior. Hurricane Matthew has weakened as it pounds Florida and crawls north along the Atlantic coast. Matthew now has sustained winds of 110 miles per hour, making it a very powerful Category 2 storm. It has left more than 300 people dead in the Caribbean, and one person has now died in Florida, killed by a tree that fell on her home. More than 1 million homes and businesses are without power in Florida. The U.S. Today now officially blaming the Russian government for the hacking of political websites and also accusing Moscow of trying to interfere with the upcoming presidential election. Stocks ended slightly lower on Wall Street, giving the market its first weekly decline in a month. A government report showing steady hiring last month fell below forecast, but not enough to take an interest rate hike from the Federal Reserve later this year off the table. The Dow fell 28 points. The S&P lost 7. The Nasdaq finished 14 points lower. You're listening to SRN News.
Radio without all that junk. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge.
I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N...
No. Just type the numbers, 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. 14 senators are calling on the Justice Department to open a criminal investigation of Wells Fargo executives after revelations that bank employees opened millions of fake bank and credit card accounts. The lawmakers say the hearing with Wells Fargo CEO John Stumpf raised serious questions that point to possible executive wrongdoing. New York and five other states in the Northeast are suing the Environmental Protection Agency to force it to help ensure that upwind states control their pollution. The northeastern states want a federal judge to force the EPA to add 9 more states to the group required by law to act together to reduce smog in the Northeast. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell more than 12 points. With
back to Rogue Talk. I am the Rogue announcer, and joining me in the studio is, of course, Pastor Evan Gigline decided to stick around, and we're gonna see just how much he knows football. And of course, my son Cameron, the Rogue Talk mascot, joining me. Welcome back, Cameron.
Hey.
So
enthusiasm.
So looking at last week's pick, Cameron with another good week. He went 3-1, and whether he was picking against the spread or just outright picking, he was 3-1. Their two games would have been different one way or the other, but so that extends his record for this season. And we are picking against the spread here, so that's what I use as the bar here. But against the spread for the 3 weeks we've done so far, Cameron is 11-5-1. So I wish I'd been betting on these games. I'd have a little money. I don't know what Pastor Gigline thinks about betting, though, so I probably shouldn't say that in front of him. So let's get to our schedule of games here.
I have a confession to make, though. This might be a little bit like those when someone fills out the brackets of March Madness and they're just like picking off of like mascots or favorite colors. That might be what this is like, because I'm more of an NFL fan.
Oh, okay.
College, I don't watch a lot, so this is going to be pretty
easy. We sometimes pick one or two of the NFL games, but we looked at the schedule and went, man, there is just nothing really too interesting this week. So we've only got some college games on the list here. But let's get to our first game, because we're going to run out of time, because, well, for 2 weeks in a row, I talk too long in the middle segment. So, so our first one we're going to pick, if I can find it here, is number... I got my glasses on, still can't read it. Number 9, Tennessee, is going to number 8, Texas A&M. And A&M is a 7-point favorite at home. So we'll let Cameron pick first. So if you need some help with some tips here, you can cheat off of his paper. So what do you think, Cameron?
Lately, I would have picked Tennessee in this one because it's more of the underdog one. But I don't like how close they kept the game last week. So I'm going to go with Texas A&M. I like their team. They've been doing pretty well. So A&M.
Yeah. Well, before Pastor Gigline makes his pick, I'll put in my two cents there. I haven't been super impressed with A&M. The last couple of years, I've liked A&M's team, but they've been a little inconsistent this year. But I don't know if they'll cover 7 points. I think this will be a close game. I think I would go with you. I'm gonna in a really close game, I'll take the points and take Tennessee. Or is that who you picked? Or
no,
you
picked Texas.
Oh, you picked A&M.
A&M.
Yeah, I think they may ultimately win, but I'm going to take the points and take Tennessee because I don't think they're going to cover 7. So what do you think, Pastor Gigline?
I'm going to go with Texas A&M, too, also on this one.
Okay, so let's move to our next game here. And Alabama, Arkansas. Let me find them here so I can get the details. Number 1, Alabama, 5-0 versus number 16, Arkansas. This one's at Arkansas. Arkansas is 4-1 on the season. Alabama is a 14-point favorite. So what do you think, Cameron?
I got to go with the upset, Arkansas. I like their defense. I think if they can get some offense going, I think they can keep it in a close game, and I think they can pull it out.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm gonna pick the points in this one. I'm gonna say I think Alabama probably will win, but I'm not sure they're gonna cover 14 points. So I'm gonna go with Arkansas too.
I'm gonna go with Alabama.
Yeah, you minister guys. You like those Southern teams, don't you?
I'll even give you the 14 points.
You're not even Baptist. I don't know what you're doing.
I'm gonna give you the 14 points, Cam. And I think we should go $1 on just this game alone. You want to do that?
Yeah.
All right. We've got $1 on that one.
All right. So we got some big money going down in the studio here. I'll pull the money I need for these bets out of the absolutely jar. Little joke for those of you that listen every week. So let's move to our next game. This is a game that we think is still going to be played. It's in the state of Florida. Has not been canceled up to now. Florida State, number 23, Florida State at number 10, Miami. And Florida State with a 3-2 record, Miami undefeated, and Miami a 3-point favorite in this one. Who do you got in Florida State at Miami?
I don't really like Florida State, so I got to go with Miami. Florida State got blown out by Louisville. They were top five the first week, and throughout they haven't played very well. Miami, they've shown themselves with 4-0. I haven't seen much of their team, but I think they can pull this one out.
Yeah, and truth be told, you're just not a big Jimbo Fisher guy, are you?
No.
That's what I thought. So who do you got, Pastor Gigline?
I'm going to go for Hurricane Michael on this one.
Okay. All right, well, we're running out of time. Let's do this last one really quick. The Red River Rivalry, Texas at Oklahoma. Who do you got, Cameron? We got about 30 seconds.
I got Texas.
Texas, okay.
I'm OU on this one. I spent a year in Oklahoma, so I'm a Sooner, kind of.
I knew there was something wrong with you. I just couldn't put my finger on it. So, okay, well, those are going to be all the games we're going to be able to pick today. I wanted to let you know, make sure to get out and support the Chieftains tonight at the homecoming game, 7 o'clock at Chieftain Stadium. And if you can't get out there, listen right here starting at 6:50 on 94 The Bridge. And be good to one another because Rogue Talk is over. We'll
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.